Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And, oh, I'm going to sleep just so hard after this radio show today. let me tell you, the last 24 hours, man.
Yeah, that rain has really done a number on some people.
Yeah, it did a number on my basement. Getting ready yesterday to get on and do radio things and whatnot, and I go to take a shower, like, well, it's freezing cold in here. Like, water is just ice cold. This can't be good. I go down to the basement, open the door, and just happen to see 6 inches of water in my basement.
Oh, no.
It was not fun.
No.
And we don't own a sump pump or anything like that.
Nope.
So you want to know how the wife and I got the first inch and a half out of that basement?
Shop vac.
5 gallon bucket. Because we do have a little shop vac over here, but that actually might fit less than 5 gallons in it. And at that point, we're just like, it's probably just easier to carry the buckets back and forth.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I got a huge assist. And it's funny how this works. So we bailed out as much as we could, borrowed a hand pump from our folks that didn't end up working, and actually may have put more water back into the basement than it ever took out.
Oh, geez.
Somehow.
So what happened? Your water heater blow up on you?
Well, the pilot went out on it.
Oh, okay.
It's a gas one, so it's coin flip as to whether we're going to have to replace that or not. But after working on that most of last night, at least getting the pilot light unsubmerged, mm-hmm. we get dinner, we go pass out at home, and I just happened to decide, you know what, at around 1:30 or so, I'm, doing more radio stuff, show prep and whatnot,
uh-huh.
And, you know, I kind of want to go up to the bar. I need a drink the way today's gone. As it turns out, that was the best decision I could have made because I ran into an old buddy of mine who just happened to have, casually mention, like, this is what I was dealing with. Got a submersible pump at home if you want to borrow it. Like, oh, you are a lifesaver. It was something, that hooks up to a garden hose at that. So
yep.
Literally ran that out the back, and that's how I ended up spending most of my night / morning.
That sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not fun. It, quite frankly, as long as the water heater still works, I'll be okay.
Well, get in contact with your insurance about that. Make a claim for it.
I am pretty sure we don't have flood insurance here, so I don't think that's going to be covered.
Well, tell them the water heater busted, and that's what flooded it. I mean, I can take an axe to it. Okay, it's not like we're talking to anybody on the radio about it or
right.
Anything like that.
Yeah, here.
Insurance fraud being brought to you by Happy
right.
Hour.
Exactly. This installment of Insurance Fraud Hour is brought to you by... yeah, no. But that's kind of been the state of things here the last 24 hours. It's been fun, let me tell you.
Oh, sure.
Home ownership, you really can't beat it.
Yep.
Thankfully, nothing of value was destroyed, at least. So I have that going for me, and possibly nothing else. Really.
Somebody I know lived in a basement apartment over in the Davison area.
Oh, no. And I can already see where this is going.
Yeah, they're moving her to an upstairs apartment because that one is going to need a lot of work.
Going to need some major time drying out, I imagine.
I mean, we get hit with these like little fingertips of hurricanes all the time, but I don't remember it get hitting that bad. I mean, that was nasty.
Right? Like, it was, I think it ended up being at least a good 4 inches or so of rain that got dropped on us in the span of, like, 24, 30-something hours.
Yep. Something like that.
It was insane. Like, and I don't even remember getting that much up here, but then again, my hours are not, like, normal hours, I suppose. Like, I know we definitely got a decent amount of rain, but it didn't seem like it was so much that... Okay, that in the 3 years that we've lived here, that would be the thing that would find me getting the great flood in my basement. Really?
Well, last year around this time, I'm pretty sure that we drove through a tornado.
I'm pretty sure we did, dude. Not even joking. Like on our way back from Eastern Michigan Fair, which we're going to be doing that again here a week after next. Yeah, yep. Adam and I will be taking this fun thing on the road and. broadcasting live from the fair for the duration of the week, I believe the 23rd through the 27th, hopefully riding in style in an RV as opposed to our normal haunt in the back of the merchant building where what is this like breeze, like never heard of it, like where it's usually give or take about 100 degrees. But now we'll be doing that. But yeah, I do remember just how nasty that was. Just driving through. There was at one point, I swear I thought I was getting Final Destination, man. There was not even a tree branch, the whole dang tree.
Yeah.
In front of me, and then one that came down behind. Like, today is the day I meet my maker, isn't it? I thought I was done for.
Yeah, I saw a tree come down, and this big old pickup truck with a ram bar on the front of it and everything else, it wasn't that big of a tree where he could have pushed it out of the way, but, you know, I'm thinking, you own a truck, you probably tailgate everybody every day on your way to work and on the way back. Here's your chance to actually help society. No, he just goes around it.
Well, of course. Well, what did you expect exactly?
I thought maybe he would be like, oh, now's my time to shine. It's time for me to use this truck for what it was intended. Nope, gotta go around it.
Well, that's what the truck was intended for, as it turns out, is noping right around that.
Yeah, right. All right.
So yeah, no, that's been my day, my week thus far. So I'm just ready to have some fun and do some radio, man.
Yeah, let's do that.
And we've got a lot of things on the docket. Not a lot of sports because we've got three more days left of sports, and then we get about a week where there's just nothing. So by the way, spoiler alert: next week's shows, sports not going to be happening. Just gonna go ahead and warn you of that now. Like if you're expecting us to do a deep dive into the All-Star game or the WNBA or whatever will actually still be going on next week. No, not going to happen. Just putting it out there now. But we do have a bunch of stuff to do today. We'll get into unsolicited advice coming up a little bit later. And I have something, a music thing or two, actually,
okay,
that we'll do. And I think we'll do that. We'll do it next.
All right.
And I think this is one where you're going to have a little better time of this than I am. This is more your area of expertise. We'll talk about it next. It is Happy Hour. Stick around. Back after this. So this is a music subject I feel like you might be a little more versed in. I am, perhaps.
Hair metal.
Surprisingly. No. Although there's some hair metal that would certainly qualify.
Okay.
Dad rock.
Okay.
And as you are the resident father, somehow, of this radio show,
yeah,
you would probably be the guy to ask about dad rock. There is a new survey out which identifies which group deserves the title of the ultimate dad rock band.
I guess, are they talking about, like, bands dads listen to? That could be anything. I mean, growing up, it could have been, like, the Beatles. My dad didn't really listen to much music. He wasn't really a fan of a certain genre or a band or a singer or anything like that. So I don't have any point of reference. But
I don't think my dad listened to anything that was newer than the Beatles.
Yeah. See, yeah. A lot of those baby boomers, they listen to, the British Invasion, maybe some of the hippie rock. So I don't...
A lot of early British Invasion stuff with my dad, and then also inexplicably Richard Harris singing MacArthur Park, which if you've never had the chance to listen to that, don't. Absolutely don't. It's the worst. If it's not the worst thing committed to record, I don't know what would be.
I believe that would be a Yoko Ono album, Sean.
This might be about on par, man.
So a dad rock band would be, I guess, stuff that... just an older band. So, I mean... hopefully our friend Eddie Lane's not listening, but Van Halen would probably be considered a dad rock band.
So when they did this vote of the ultimate dad rock band, Van Halen comes in tied for second.
I mean, yeah. But I mean, there's still, the kids these days, a lot of them still listen to Van Halen.
That's true, but there's a lot of these on here that the kids still listen to.
Okay, well, what else do they got on there? Or do they have a curriculum, a criteria, so to speak, of what constitutes a dad band?
No, they just asked 3,000 Americans which band epitomizes dad rock in the modern day and age.
Okay, Oh, jeez.
I want to see.
Foreigner has got to be on there.
No, they might be on there, but they're certainly not in the top three.
No, top three. Okay. Beach Boys?
No. Think way newer.
Newer.
Think a lot newer.
Oh, Nickelback.
Nickelback is number one.
Yeah. I want to talk about Nickelback here in a little bit. I want, but we'll finish this and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Let's do this and then we'll do that.
So the other, in order, so you got one and you got one of the ones that's tied for number two. You're going to be surprised by the other one that was tied for number two on this. Blink 182.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, people who were kids when Blink 182 came out are asking, what's my age again?
Well, I hear nobody likes you when you're 23.
Yeah, that's right. So now they're old. They got kids, and they're like, you know, yeah. I could see a Green Day. I could see that being considered a dad band.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like I to me, I'm not sure. Just I don't understand. I guess how old it has to be characterized as a dad band or dad rock. Like a while ago, they came out with that. Now that's what I call dad rock, and it was a lot of like Imagine Dragons made it on there and things that are like. Good Lord, I think they've been a group for, what, 10 years at most? Like, and we're already calling this dad music? Like, I don't understand.
How would you like to be in Imagine Dragons going, what the hell?
What did we do?
Come on, man. What about, I had an idea and it just jumped right out of my head. Oh, I hate when that happens. So there's no hair metal on there.
Is there any hair metal?
What about Aerosmith?
Aerosmith did not make the list. You already guessed the oldest band by a good, I would say, decade or 5 year or so. Yeah, no, about a decade margin in Van Halen.
Van Halen.
Like the next newest came out around 85, 86. Actually, there were a couple that would fit there. There's one full on 80s band, one who really broke out in the late 80s and was fizzled out by mid next decade.
Oh.
And then everything else is newer than that.
Wow. It's going to make complete sense to me when I hear it, but yeah. Jeez.
You want me to just give them to you?
Yeah, why don't we?
I'm not going to make you struggle on this yet. That'll be for later. Bon Jovi comes in at number eight.
You're not telling me they fizzled out in the 90s, because
No, I see. They were basically popular in the 80s, more or less.
They've had some huge hits. That It's My Life, you couldn't run from that song.
Okay, that was early 2000s. Okay, yeah, they had a little bit of a comeback in the aughts, but yeah. What did they do in the 90s that anyone remembers?
Stadiums, my man.
But as far as new recorded music.
90s?
How many hits did they have in the 90s?
Bed of Roses.
Bed of Roses was 90s?
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm picturing that as late 80s, I guess.
Well, yeah. You weren't old enough to really understand. You were probably listening to the Wiggles.
No, I did not.
Jumping around singing the SpongeBob SquarePants theme song.
Absolutely not.
Power Rangers.
Also, no.
No, you're probably 5 years old. You're probably watching C-SPAN. You nerd.
I mean, also to be fair, that wouldn't be.
So Bon Jovi. Okay,
so that would be
that
like
is 90... definitely a that is definitely a dad band. Okay,
so that was like 93, and that's like the last hit I want to remember from them until the album though "It's My Life" was on came out.
Oh no, I don't know, not as big as "It's My Life" because that song was just huge. But they've kind of gone the real soccer mom route, doing like can't go home again or
right stuff that sounds that wouldn't sound
it sounds like a jingle.
Exactly. Stuff that was basically made for like commercials.
Who says you can't go back? Yeah. Remax Realty.
God, you're so not wrong. Sadly, you're not wrong at all. So the other 80s, this one was like
sure.
Popular late 80s, filled out early 90s, GNR. Really? GNR comes in at number six.
Oh, wow, that kills me, because I think as a dysfunctional band as GNR has been and probably always will be,
yes,
I can't imagine, you know, being just considered. Because when I think of dad band, I'm thinking non-threatening, a lot of anthem rock, a lot of fists in the air, cigarette lighters in the air, but nothing, definitely no heroin or Jack Daniels addictions.
Well, okay, maybe
Van Halen.
Let's be honest, maybe Jack Daniels addictions in there for sure. You did get one part of that. Like, there is one really non-threatening kind of arena act on here. Coldplay comes in at number 7.
Coldplay.
They're about as non-threatening as music gets. Inoffensive. One might even say bland.
Coldplay.
Apologize to Coldplay.
Coldplay, didn't they bring Michael J. Fox out on a show recently?
Did they?
Yeah, they did. And Michael J. Fox, I mean, he's got that Parkinson's bad. He's all over the place. You can't get him to stay still, but he played well. He did really well.
What was he doing with it? Was he actually like playing an instrument?
Yeah, he plays a mean guitar. He always has. You saw Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I guess you always assume that sort of thing in the movies is
faked. Yeah.
Yeah, it's faked, dubbed over. You know.
Yeah, he does play. He does play guitar.
I'm amazed that he still can at this.
Not slow.
Oh, good lord. Put Michael G. Fox on the apology
list. Can you calm down a little bit? No, I can't.
So
park it in, son. Oh, oops, sorry.
So given what your guesses were
sure.
So far, yeah. You're going to be really surprised by the rest of this list then.
Is Kiss on there?
Kiss is not on there. There's not another band on this list that was popular before the 90s.
Oh, okay. Oh, Creed. Creed's got to be on there.
I expected Creed to make the top 10. They did not.
What about Limp Bizkit?
Limp Bizkit did. They are in sole position of ninth.
Everybody's talking about that tour that's going around. I listen to a lot of some podcasts that they're talking about. Everyone wants to go to it. Not for Limp Bizkit, but for the opener, Corey Feldman.
Wait, what? Seriously, that's a thing?
That's a thing. Corey Feldman doing his best Michael Jackson impression. That's borderline sad. Yeah, everyone wants to go see that train wreck.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. If you're going to a Limp Bizkit show already, you're not going for the musical quality. You're going for the train wreck factor.
Yeah.
Isn't that just kind of assumed?
Oh, Fred Durst. Have you seen Fred Durst recently?
Yeah, he actually had hair?
Yeah, like white gray hair.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
He does kind of look like a stereotypical dad now.
Yeah.
It's really weird, and I don't know how to feel about it.
So Nickelback was on there.
Nickelback was number 1.
Okay.
Van Halen was tied for 2nd with Blink 182.
Okay.
Number 3 is the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
I can too because their music has gotten infinitely less threatening, quote unquote, basically since Californication came out. Like, I mean, you listen to some of their early stuff and the things they were singing and in some cases rapping about,
uh-huh.
And then you basically had Californication, which to me peak of their discography, honestly, but where you really. The songwriting was probably as good as it had ever been, and it wasn't a crazy, like, just all over the place funk like thing, but there were still plenty of that. But then I feel like any rough edges that were left were smoothed out completely by the time Stadium Arcadium came out. An album that really could have been a single album and not lost a whole lot.
So Beastie Boys wouldn't be on there then?
No.
Okay, so 90s and newer. Okay.
Random aside, did you hear where they just sued Chili's over, I guess, a commercial they did that bears a striking resemblance to the Sabotage music video and used the song Sabotage?
That's it, Chili's. You're going down.
I mean, someone needs to stick it to the, you know, to your fast casual joints. Or,
yeah.
Like, why are we paying this kind of money for microwave food? Good thing Chili's isn't an advertiser, I don't think.
Not anymore.
I might be getting an angry text later about that one.
The sales crew at Sanlac Broadcast is like, would you tell those guys to shut up?
I don't think there was a Chili's in the... I forgot they were still in business, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
anyway.
Nobody's eating good in this neighborhood. Thanks, guys.
So Nirvana comes in at number 4, which...
Oh, yeah, Nirvana.
Nirvana has somehow become the epitome of dad rock. Linkin Park is number 5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you're going to put Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park's definitely got to be in there.
And then, yeah, GNR, Coldplay, Bon Jovi, Limp Bizkit round out the top 10. And then they broke it down by state.
By state.
Yes.
Okay.
So take a guess which one makes it for...
Out of that 10?
I think all of them are one of these 10 bands, yes.
In Michigan, then?
Yes.
Oh, probably Bon Jovi?
No.
Well, New Jersey is definitely Bon Jovi.
You're close-ish, though. Think that same era. one of the bands that we talked about, because it's one of the ones that was on that list.
GNR.
No.
Okay. Van Halen.
Yes.
Oh, duh.
It is indeed Van Halen. Now, I'm really going to blow your mind next. Yeah. Guess which one is the one for California?
Chili Peppers?
Yes, it is.
No, it would be like somebody else, like Nickelback. Is like, because, come on, Chili Peppers, stop singing about our state. You're bringing us all down here.
Right. They actually just hate that.
We've been burning our state down just to get away from your music. Sorry, California.
Yeah, I guess we should apologize to them. Also, apparently, a nostalgic 57% of people think today's music is worse than music from the past.
Well, yeah. Every generation thinks that.
Meanwhile, 40% think today's tunes are just as good as the classics. Only 3% say that today's music is actually better.
I don't know if it's better, but it's definitely made an upswing. And I'm not talking about like Cardi B. I'm not talking about that, but I mean Phoebe Bridgers. I mean, we play a lot of stuff on Solid State Radio that proves that new music is right up there. The musicianship. I mean, let's talk about local music for just a second. The music coming from some of these people who are like 19, 20, 22 years old, they are... The musicianship is just fantastic. Songwriting is just great. And the way they can record it now in their basement is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really, like, local, like, you know, DIY music has really just come a whole long way since, you know, since, like, you and I were kids. A couple other interesting stats off of this real quick. Apparently, 41% of people believe you become out of touch with modern music by the ripe old age of 35.
I think that, accurate. Well, we're in radio, so we don't count. We kind of immerse ourselves in music. We're musicians. But the typical person who you know, basically has to focus on everything else in their life, listen to like the new stuff, and it's right now. Here I am in my soapbox. We're gonna do this.
You would never do that.
This is not the time in our lives where people are introduced to new music. It's not like you can turn on MTV and just have that on in the background and watching videos and find something new.
Unless you listen to this radio station, you know, in which case you're getting exposed. Well, yeah. We're exposing you.
We're exposing you. But then
to all the new music.
So many people around 35, they listen to like Spotify, like generated playlists that they put together. They listen to what they want to. So they're not really giving themselves a chance to be introduced to new artists.
Yeah, I guess that's fair too. Interestingly, 30% of people say that they'll never become out of touch with music, with new music.
Yeah, you like to think so.
I like to think so. I know I certainly like to think so.
Well, you're cut from a different cloth than most people. Musician, working in radio. I mean, it's kind of your job to know about music. So
if I become out of touch with music, that's when they shove me down the hall in our sister classic rock station, I guess.
No, this is where DJs go to die.
And then it's only a matter of time before you're DJing on the oldie station.
Next thing, you just move down the ladder. You're FM. Next thing you know, you're down in the basement in the AM station.
Still playing the music of your life or something.
Playing songs off of carts.
Right. Just queuing up those old Perry Como vinyl records. Yeah.
Where were you when you heard Blink 182's What's My Age Again? This is Sean Canwell. On the dust. WDST, the dust.
Pretty much. But for what it's worth, apparently 89% of respondents still enjoy listening to dad rock for whatever it might be worth.
That kind of music doesn't go away. And I got to give props to mad props to, you know, the kids today, because there is no lines anymore. When I was growing up, you couldn't listen to rap. You couldn't listen to country. If you're a rock guy, you couldn't listen to that. If you're a country, you could maybe listen to a little bit of rock. Nobody listened to rap. Unless if you were a rap fan, that's all you could be. Now, all those lines have been blurred. You can do whatever. You can listen to whatever you want. And these kids, they'll listen. They'll go back and check out Van Halen, but they'll also know, 1975. They'll listen to Black Keys. And, you know, they don't limit themselves.
Right. My generation, I guess, didn't really limit themselves in that regard very much either, necessarily. I mean, obviously, rap rock was pretty big when I was a kid, and even a lot of the kids that listened to rock music liked Eminem when he came out, especially. Like, that was one of the big ones. Like, everyone I knew basically had the entirety of, like, the Real Slim Shady, like, memorized, like, all the cool kids at the school did. That said, I draw a line at country rap. I draw a firm line in the sand at country rap.
But that's where you're showing your age. You're like, that shouldn't be. No, but, I mean...
I'm sorry, none of it's good.
Gen X, as much as we like to pat ourselves on the back, we kind of had hard lines when it came to music. Millennials, you guys definitely got into... You sampled around a little bit, but there was still some music you wouldn't listen to. Like, there was a lot of millennials who just thought, you know, hair metal was just garbage. And...
only because it was.
But, you know, a couple years ago, I was in a recording studio. I was working with Four Walls, and I just started playing the riff to Look What the Cat Dragged In from Poison. And a young guitar player, a young guy that was really good, he was like, yeah, I know that song. I was like, and that's like a deep cut from Poison.
I mean, yeah, that's not one of their...
That didn't make the radio.
Yeah, that's not one of their better-known tracks.
No.
By any means.
No. So, I mean, they just... they don't care, and I love that. They'll just listen to whatever they want to listen to.
And good on them for that, but could you at least stop putting such garbage music into the mainstream? I don't need to hear another Morgan Wallen track. That's all I'm saying. Am I asking that much here? Apparently I am.
You must be spouting off from your 9-to-5 workplace.
Why, yes. How did you know?
I don't think I'd be able to pick up a Morgan Wallen song out of a lineup.
Consider yourself lucky, my
Big
friend.
Big M, Little Oregon, Morgan Wallen.
Ha. Jesus. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and it is once again time for my favorite thing we do all week on this show, Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. We intercept. Quite frankly, I think we give better advice than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living.
All right.
Yeah, we may ruin a few lives along the way, but you know what? That's just the price of doing business.
Can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs.
Exactly. Let's dive right into this, shall we?
Sure.
Dear, not these two.
Uh-oh.
I've been seeing my partner for more than a year. They're noncommittal and don't know what they want out of life. I'm in my late 30s and definitely want to cohabitate and consider parenthood. How do I deal with my partner?
You don't. If they don't want to marry you, they're not going to marry you. I mean, you're going to trick them? Trick your partner into marrying you? That's a good base of a relationship.
Yeah, that always works great
whenever
you do that.
Yeah. Everybody loves to be tricked into a marriage.
Who doesn't love that?
You're going to guilt trip them into a marriage?
You might, honestly.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe look at yourself and find out why they don't want to marry you, or maybe they're not the marrying type.
I love that your first thing is, well, have you considered that maybe you're not a desirable mate?
Maybe you're hot garbage.
Maybe you're actually a terrible human being.
Yeah.
Has anyone told you that that's a possibility?
Yeah, they don't want to be linked to you for the rest of their life.
Totally understand.
Pay you alimony because you probably don't have a job, and you sit there, you do nothing all day, you don't cook, you don't clean, and you just want to be on their health insurance. Oh, maybe I'm projecting.
maybe a slight bit.
Not with Dorothy. Dorothy's awesome. I just remember past relationships.
Oh, yes. You've mentioned as much.
Uh-huh.
There were some interesting ones.
Yeah. Yeah, I can pick them, can't I? No, I mean, if somebody's not into the... they probably have a good reason for not wanting to get married. I mean, it's not the best financial decision. If the person you're marrying has, like, terrible credit, guess what? That credit becomes your credit. And, you know, if their credit score is double digits, not triple, double digits, maybe they don't want you dragging them down.
Yeah, have you ever just thought that you're actually dragging your non-committal significant other down? And that's why he doesn't want to commit to doing anything.
Maybe.
Again, I love that Adam is approaching this from the, well, clearly you're a terrible person. Have you ever thought about that?
This is, it's not him. It's definitely you.
It is absolutely you.
Yeah, you're just hot garbage. You need to set your partner free so they have a chance at a good life.
You're the worst.
Stop writing letters to people.
Maybe if you focus on being a better person instead of writing to advice columnists, maybe you'd be a little bit better off.
Get off your phone once in a while. Cook him dinner. Do that thing he likes in bed.
Exactly. Honestly, though, I mean, at some point you can't really... I don't know, you're not going to be able to make someone commit to... And I'm not sure what it's really like, if it's just he doesn't want to get married or he doesn't want kids versus he's working a... dead-end restaurant gig, you know, a fast food job or something where there's no real ever career advancement in play. Like, it could be any, and that's honestly kind of the way I tend, like, he's just working a dead-end job that he's never going to get ahead in, and he's just happy to do the bare minimum as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Which, in that case, it's, at some point, there's only so much you can do there. Hopefully... Hopefully Rachel's not listening because she might start to realize that real quick.
She says, wait a minute. Too late. You already married him.
You're still going to you're gonna have to still give me half the stuff. So, and all the stuff was yours coming in, so sucks to be you.
Give me half your soggy basement. Wait a minute. That sounds dirty.
Oh, I guess I should put Rachel on the apology list,
please
too.
Please do. Please do. Underline it so she won't kill me.
Cause she might, she'll burn this here shed down with both of us in it.
I've got my back to the door. This is not good. I won't hear it open, and I'll just feel the pain in the back of the head.
Right, and I won't even say anything to you. I'll just be sitting laughing, knowing that it's going to be me immediately after.
Anyway,
but no, for as far as honest, like serious advice about this, like. I don't know that you really go the ultimatum route here, but I mean, if you don't see it, him committing, wanting to, and it going anywhere, I mean, dump him, I guess.
Yep.
What else are you really going to do? I mean, I guess you could sit down and have a conversation with them, but...
I mean, yeah, find out why. I mean, he does owe you that, to explain why you... If you want to get married and he doesn't, he owes you an explanation, but... Don't try to force him, because that's not a good idea. He's going to resent you for it, because marriage is supposed to be forever. So
they say.
30 years from now, you don't want to be like, you regretted marrying me, don't you? Yes, I didn't want to marry you in the first place. Where have you been?
You become like that letter we had the other day where the guy is spending his retirement years just watching TV and you want to actually do things.
Right.
That's how that turns into that very quickly.
Uh-huh.
I've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do another one of these, shall we?
Sure.
Dear, do people actually still read these?
Yes.
My wife and I have a wonderful marriage, but I wish she would just let me do the cooking. Where I'm concerned with the flavor of foods or taking those extra steps to make our food taste delicious, my wife is mostly concerned that what we eat is healthy and that it has all the nutrients we need, even though we all take multivitamins. Having to force down a healthy meal can sometimes put my evenings on a real low. I don't mind cooking for the whole family, but she often insists or she just takes the initiative. How can I let my wife know that I would like to cook tonight, please?
Tell her. Or just cook. Just start cooking. It's like, I'm going to make some, gray, bland chicken breast and, I'm already making fried chicken, so this is what we're doing.
Yeah, just don't give her the option. Just get home before she does.
Yeah, what is she going to do? I hate it. My husband likes to cook, and all of her girlfriends will just be like, shut up. If you got a guy that likes to cook, let him cook.
No, absolutely that you do. Like, it's very rare that you find one of those, so when it comes up, you take advantage of it when it exists.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't cooked like a handful of meals maybe since we moved in. I mean, she also has like one of those subscription like food delivery boxes, and that makes up a good chunk of the meals that we eat together in any given week.
Yeah. I mean...
Like, we're in a weird situation anyway, because like literally the time we spend like eating dinner together is all we see each other for like the first half of the week.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a different thing for us. And also, she is a far better cook than I am. And even though I've worked in food service for like 20 years, I don't dare step in and do this for fear that the delicious things that she makes will stop happening. And I don't, and I really don't want that to happen.
What if he and his wife sat down and maybe come find a middle ground, something that tastes good, a little bit more healthy? Maybe
those don't exist.
She's going to make a, you know, a nice spinach salad. And then
the rest of us are going to eat steak.
Yeah, he wants to deep fry it or something.
Yeah, here you go. Here's a whole bowl of kale.
Yeah.
Me and the kids are eating ribeye tonight.
That's right. You go ahead and enjoy your spaghetti squash. We're going to be eating real spaghetti. Ha ha!
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
What now?
So, yeah, I mean, come up with a... Sit down and say, you know, let's punch up your recipes, let's make them a little bit more flavorful so there's, you know, still nutritious and, you know, I can choke it down.
Yeah, like make something that might actually theoretically taste good. That's a novel concept.
Here, come over here for a second, dear. Yeah, you know, this is a spice rack. Yeah, spice, you know, yeah, I know. These are all names you are not getting used to all of a sudden.
You're not very familiar with
not familiar with a lot of these. C-U-M-I-N, stop laughing. It's pronounced cumin. Let's start using some of these for your dishes, because right now, every time I have your meals, I wondered if I test positive for COVID, because I can't taste anything.
See, I am so thankful that I did not marry the person that, like, just cooks bland food. Like, she comes from a family, my wife does, of people who, like, whatever the recipe calls for as far as garlic, you like multiply that by four.
Oh yes, I love garlic.
She's one of those kind of people. Like, we'll never have to worry about vampires ever. I tell you, because they have garlic in us to kill a
blue. No, what's in this blue? But I mean, we have to realize that America was discovered because of spice by Christopher Columbus. You know, I mean, obviously people were already living here. I'm not getting to that argument. But it was at a point where people in Spain and everything else, they were so bored with flavorless cooking. They just got in a ship and they're like, I can't take this anymore. And they just took off.
And then yet somehow now, what, you know, in recent years, white people have just doubled down on making the blandest food possible.
Yeah, right.
I don't understand this.
I don't know. Any kind of snack food anymore is like extreme hot and ghost pepper, Carolina Reaper.
Yeah, it's always in one of two directions now. Either now it's extreme hot, or it's just like
say goodbye to your butthole. It's extreme Doritos,
right? Or it's like something like, you know, actually, ranch has more spice than this does.
Yeah.
What are we even doing?
We started buying the Chipotle ranch. That's good stuff.
I'm good. I'm down with some Chipotle ranch.
Hell, that's some good stuff. But yeah. Definitely sit down with your wife and say, listen, we got to bring some spice into our life. And
I'm not just talking the bedroom.
That's not. Yeah, exactly. I want to be able to look forward to mealtimes. That's, you know, something we do together. We can cook together. I mean, that's a nice little bonding atmosphere, you know.
Right. I mostly stay out of the way. Like, I'll help, like, you know, dice vegetables and, you know, do the... Well, in preparing for the 4th of July party this year, sitting there for a good hour cutting up 10 pounds of steak. Like, she has bought... Apparently, I'm not familiar with the chuck eye cut. Apparently, that's a thing. Let me tell you...
Didn't this knock over Fred Flintstone's car?
Like, this stuff literally is like... It's just so much fat all the way. I've never seen a cut of meat entire... Like, quite like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And cutting it and, you know, trimming the fat was, let me tell you, a royal pain.
Yeah.
Thankfully, there were a couple sirloins in there. So, but she, it came to the cubing, like dicing this stuff up for, like, because the folks, the family get together had, like, street tacos.
Okay.
And so, like, doing prep stuff for that.
Oh, you're making me hungry.
I know, I'm making myself hungry, and that's not good, because I haven't eaten since sometime last night and haven't gone to bed.
Oh, jeez.
I really should...
Yeah.
I should fix one of those two things here in fairly short order.
Just take a sandwich to bed and shut up.
You know, I could think of worse ideas.
Yeah.
How about, let's do one... We got time for one more.
Sure.
Why not?
All right.
Dear... Oh, God, it's them again, isn't it?
Yes, it's us.
We're a retired couple in our late 60s. You just watch out opening that. Like, get ready to just start chugging. So during the last segment, he opens a can of Coke they put in my little mini fridge here, and it just exploded. It looked like someone had already dropped some Mentos in it or something.
That's why I'm thinking, is this a prank?
Did you set me up? Am I being punked?
Yeah, I mean, it just kept going. I'd sip on it, and it was like, it wouldn't calm down.
So you bust out another one. I'm just waiting with bated breath, like, oh, my God, you're going to flood my garage with pop, aren't you?
we're trying to have a nice professional radio show, and we're worried if I'm going to set off a Coca-Cola grenade over here.
Basically, yes.
Okay. All right.
So we are a retired couple in our late 60s. In our younger days, we enjoyed an active social life that often revolved around drinking, sometimes to excess. As we've grown older, we've slowed down, improved our diet, and taken up a near-daily fitness regimen that has both of us in pretty good shape. My wife still drinks more than she should, as measured by my opinion and numerous online articles I've read. What are you doing to your Dr. WebMD? Anyway, sorry. We discussed it a few times, and she makes an improvement for a short term, but soon backslides into her habit of having 4, 5, sometimes 6 glasses of wine a night. At the same time, I've eliminated alcohol entirely. I don't nag her about it. I'm all for everyone making their own choices in life, but I know the effects of this amount of regular drinking is not healthy. I used to buy the alcohol for both of us, and since I stopped, she has purchased the wine on her own. Yesterday, knowing that I will do this week's shopping soon, she put wine on the list. I am torn between telling her I won't enable her drinking while expressing my hope that she can again reduce to a more reasonable level and just keeping quiet about it.
If you're that concerned for her health, then yeah. I think as her husband, you have a right to talk to her about it. Nagging her? No. We're not nagging. We're not forbidding her from drinking. She's an adult. She's living a lifestyle that you knew about when you married her, and then you lived a life with her. Now, you stop drinking, good for you. I mean, as long as she's not driving, as long as she's not an angry drunk, as long as she's not a danger to herself or others. I mean, talk to her about her health, but I mean, other than that, you know, let her relax.
Let her have her wine. Good Lord, do you have to take all... Like, bad enough, you're already like, all right, here, we're getting a better diet, we're getting a fitness regimen going. Can't you let this woman have one thing to enjoy?
Right.
Must you just suck all of the happiness out of this woman's life?
Right, right. Just calm down.
Like, here, oh, this is a fun thing that you actually like that makes you feel good? Well, by God, we've got to get rid of that.
Yeah.
My, you sound like a real load to be around. Have you considered that maybe you're the problem here, Mr. Health Nut?
I mean, 6 glasses of wine, that is a full bottle. That is definitely a full bottle of wine. But
so?
Still, it's, you know... As long as she's not a danger to herself, and you know, she keeps up with doctor's appointments, and you know,
just because you read something on WebMD once or saw some clickbait article somewhere, and who cares what your opinion is about what's excessive drinking? Like, right. Who made you judge, jury, and executioner, bud?
Exactly. Just calm down. Go get your wife a drink and shut up.
Exactly.
Get her a new corkscrew for Christmas. Sounds like this the one she has is getting a workout.
Exactly. I mean, maybe a new, or else she can go and just get herself a new wine opener. If you catch my drift,
buy her a wine chiller and shut up.
Exactly. Why do people have to make this sort of thing so difficult? Like, right, you're making this change to your life, and that's, you know, I guess commendable. Good for you? Question mark. Great.
I kind of want to hear what the advice, the actual qualified advice columnist.
I already dismissed his advice out of hand because it's one of those, 4 or more drinks a day or 8 per week is heavy drinking. 8 drinks a week is heavy drinking.
I did that yesterday.
I did that last night, dude. Like, and quite frankly, given what I was schlepping up from our basement, I think I was justified in every single one of those drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of Jack Daniels was poured, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't apologize for it, not even a little bit. I earned those drinks, let me tell you.
Absolutely. It's your little eight drinks
a week is heavy drinking.
It's your reward for the end of a day.
I don't know if I know anybody who other than the people who just don't drink at all, who drink less than 8 drinks a week. That's really? That's right. That's the threshold for heavy drinking now?
I guess. Damn.
Good Lord. What does that make us, man?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I probably don't. I mean, the rest of the advice is just whatever, you know. You're yada yada. Like, well, say that if you think your alcohol consumption is having a negative impact on your relationship, say that. You tell her you've made the decision and your reasons for doing it. But basically, we do agree that don't expect that your reasons are going to make her change. Because, right. Yeah, you're doing this for you. It's not like you're now. If you were quitting because you're an alcoholic, and like it was having a major destructive impact on your life, and you can't handle being around, you can't handle, you know, that kind of temptation, I guess I would understand it more. But it's just, I'm a joyless miser, and I want to ruin it for her too. I can't get down with that. Sorry, I just can't. Hope that helped. So I've noticed we haven't really done a "this list is trash" in a good long time.
No, we started bringing it back, and lately we just had too much content.
Just too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
There's too much content. There's
too many things to talk about. This is crazy.
I know. It's weird how that works, but unfortunately for you, today the turntables have turned, mon frere.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're getting subjected to a list of sorts, and this is one, this could honestly take us the rest of the show, quite frankly. Because what I have here is a list. It's not a ranked list.
Okay.
It's something I came across from a podcast of a, pardon my take, variety of, they've got 16 answers on the board for this, hobbies that become personalities. And I want to see if you can guess all 16 of these that are listed as the hobbies that turn into people's entire personalities.
Marathon running.
Marathon running is not specifically on this list, but can we count CrossFit? If we count...
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, wait. Runners are on the list. Okay. I was wrong. And that absolutely is just one of those things, like it's all those people talk about once they actually... And I guess I gave you CrossFit, didn't
CrossFit,
I?
CrossFit, so. Yeah. Veganism.
Oh, vegan. I'm actually amazed that that one was one of the last ones to get mentioned on that list, because that is always the, like, people who are vegan make sure that they let you know about it, like, this ASAP, like, upon meeting them.
Yeah, yeah. It's they'll tell you they're vegan before they tell you their name.
It's sad but true. It really is.
What about firearms?
Gun guys.
Yes.
That honestly should be on the list. And I'm amazed that it isn't.
Yeah, they have guns. They talk guns. They're afraid that somebody's going to come take their guns. Their shirts all say, you know, shall not be infringed, and Second Amendment, and gun control is using two hands. And
they have, I guarantee you, they have more than one don't tread on me flag either in front of their house or on their truck.
Exactly.
Like, those people do really make that their entire personality, and it's like, I've had people I've spent a decent amount of time with who were those people. Like, they're you know, at some, like, get-togethers and things, like, when a lot of these guys were all big, like, gun people, like, and it, like, family get-togethers and stuff, like, I got nothing for you, like, I don't... Yeah. I don't get into it like you guys do.
Right, right. It's they do make it their personality, but you know, I have no problem with guns.
I don't have a problem with guns. Like, it just the fans of them are just they're a different breed, man.
What about musicians?
Surprisingly, not on the list.
Really? Wow.
I'm surprised too, man.
Because we can be pretty annoying about it.
Yes, we can. Can and have.
What about movies?
Not quite. That one, not technically on the list, but there's a certain...
Comic books.
No, actually.
Really? People who read comics, they don't make that their entire...
No, they do make it their entire personality. It just did not make it onto here.
Okay.
But think of that vein, like... Adults that are way too into certain things.
Are we looking
in the
for something?
Entertainment world?
Oh, pornography.
No.
Oh, okay. So is it a type of movie?
Well,
sci-fi?
We'll say a certain movie studio.
Oh, okay.
Like, you are way too old to be into this.
Oh, movie studio. Disney.
Yeah, Disney adults.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, those do become their entire personality. Oh, and I'm sorry. Yes. I probably shouldn't judge this way, but if you are indeed a Disney adult, I do judge very, very harshly. It's just you're just weird, okay? I actually had someone years ago, a friend of mine was getting had gotten engaged to this woman, and they had asked if I'd, you know, perform a song or two at the wedding. They wanted a song for the Little Mermaid.
Just kiss a girl or
yes,
something?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
That they actually asked me to play as she was walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
As it turns out, that relationship did not last.
Yeah, now it should have been asked for consent. why are you taking advice from a singing crab?
You're not wrong.
It's not what she was talking about when she said she had crabs.
Ha.
What about pet ownership?
You know, I'm kind of surprised that pet ownership, especially the ones who...
I'm a cat mom.
She's a rescue. Yeah, they actually don't make the list either, but a caretaker of sorts does make the list.
Babysitter?
No, think a little more permanent attachment.
Parent?
Yes, new parents.
New parents, oh yeah. Yeah, we're the worst.
Yeah, y'all are. Oh, my God.
I'm realizing I'm posting more about my kid than anything else. I got to knock that off.
I mean, that's probably fair, but it does seem like... And I don't know if it's necessarily... The list, by the way, hobbies that become personalities. I don't know if that's a hobby. Being a parent just seems like a little more of an investment than a hobby.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. What about, jeez.
I don't know if I'd term it that way, but, you know, you do you.
Sports watching.
Sports fandom, yes. That does come in on the list.
Yeah.
And
can't believe it took me so long to figure that one out.
Especially because it is so us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, also alcohol is us, but,
yeah.
Speaking of, okay, I may have just given you a hint here.
Beer making, beer drinking.
Homebrewing, yes.
Homebrewing, yes.
Yep, brewing your own beer. Yeah, that really does. Like, there's a certain breed of hipster where it does become their entire personality. And to be honest, about half of you, I do love the stuff you produce, and yes. It's absolutely delicious, and please keep me around. However, if you're one of those people where everything, like, involves hibiscus or dandelions, that's quite all right. Like, if everything you make is, like, super bitter, and that's, like, the main selling point... that's quite
no,
all right.
Thank you. Not interested.
I have things to do that day. I have to wash my hair that night. I'm sorry. Can't make it.
What about hunters?
You know, hunters should absolutely be on this list, and I'm kind of surprised that they're not.
I mean,
fishing.
Okay.
So, I mean, it kind of counts. Counts enough.
Hunters, they always say, they seem to be wearing clothes that have like deer on them.
It does go right along with the gun guy thing, really, because like hunter guy and gun guy are usually the same dude. They so like super geek out over their weapon of choice. So right. I mean, it really could. There's a lot of overlap. Like that Venn diagram is just a circle. And again, nothing wrong with that. If that's what you're into, but it is very much a thing.
Hey, if I know of a hunter and he offers me some venison, I'm definitely going after that. I love me some deer. I don't like it when deer jump out in front of my car.
See, this is a problem with not being a... With my often... are my well-known issues with deer at this point.
Yep.
Is that I'm not a big venison guy.
Oh, that sucks.
So it's like I don't even get to reap the benefits, such as they are, of continuously hitting deer and wrecking my vehicle because I don't even like the taste of the damn thing.
That is too bad because when you're done with them, they're pretty much tenderized already. A couple car parts in them, but you can just pick around that.
Well, I mean, they're nice and seasoned with, you know, coolant at that point. They're big fans of my radiator, let me tell you. Nice coating of motor oil there on that venison. Tastes great.
Oh, America's the world's stupidest animal.
Truly they are. So you've guessed about half of the list. You're missing... There is a specific sports guy that's on this list.
The sports betting? Fantasy sports.
Yeah, sports gambling is on the list, okay. But that's not the one I was thinking of. And yeah, it does seem like the degenerate gambler has become a personality unto itself, has it not?
Yeah.
Like,
they can't just watch a game, they got to tell you the odds.
Exactly. And like I'm sorry, I've tried to get into the sports betting because as a guy who spends a lot of time watching sports, I feel like I should be into this, and that it might, you know, be somewhat of a lucrative, or at least a somewhat money-making venture for me, potentially. Mm-hmm. An easy way to win a bar tab one night or something.
Yeah, but I mean, it becomes, okay, my favorite team lost, that sucks, and my favorite team lost, and I can't make the car payment. That's it could get that route.
No, it absolutely does, and that does become a huge issue at some point, no doubt. But that being said, I've never been able to do it. Like, I can't even get to be a casual bettor, much less like some of the degenerates out there who are just like the kind of people that are sitting, you know, betting on some obscure soccer league that plays all their games at like 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning. We all know those people. We do know a few of those people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like I can't get into it to that extent. Like, good on you. And I said it's not that I wouldn't love to do it or that I do think I'm better than you because I'm not a gambler. I just recognize that luck is not a thing that exists in my world, as exemplified by the fact that I spent most of last night and this morning, you know, cleaning water out of my basement on top of a laundry list of maladies that befell me.
Right.
If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. So I'm not the guy. I am absolutely 100% not the guy to go doing the gambling thing.
Why don't you clue the listeners in it if they're just joining us, what we're talking about.
This list is trash of hobbies that become personalities.
And what ones I've already guessed?
So you've guessed so far: vegans, homebrewers, fishing, runners, sports fans, Disney adults, sports gambling, new parents, CrossFit. And there's a few that I'm surprised you haven't guessed yet. You're still missing on this list. You're missing six.
What about religion?
No, but think the other thing that you're not supposed to talk about in a bar.
Oh, politics.
Oh, yes. Politics is on the list. And I have been, if not exactly this guy, I have been this guy adjacent.
Yes.
I've been very much, and it's really for the best that I've kind of chilled out on that because it's just no one wants
to. Well, you have your knowledge of politics, but you keep it for self-defense only.
Yeah, for the most part. What about? I'm not like I used to be on that stuff, man. You remember how like I was the guy on Facebook that would lay waste to people.
Yeah, you have calmed down in your older age. What about patriotism?
I mean, that's kind of wrapped in with the politics, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. But I know the people who are like every clothes they wear has the American flag on it, which is a violation of the U.S. flag code, by the way. They're truck has a big flag on it. Everything's a flag, and everything's for the troops. Everything's, you know, which is good. But I mean,
but I feel like again, it is very much lined up with
politics. Yeah,
with the politics, and quite frankly, that's also back to an overlapping circle with the gun guy.
Oh yeah,
like people who self-identify as patriots, like at the Venn diagram with the other stuff for sure.
What about the record collector?
No, because that would fall under the music guy.
Okay.
So there is one specific music fan.
Ska. Those people can't shut up about it.
Yeah, but you don't encounter too many of them in the wild outside of your local pizza place.
Yeah.
Or wherever mozzarella sticks are sold. Should apologize to ska fans, I guess.
Yeah, ska fans.
I mean, I could apologize to ska fans. Do I really want to? No. So there's a specific type of music fan right now where it has...
Country fans.
No.
No? Blues?
A specific artist.
Oh. Oh, Taylor Swift.
Swifties, yes.
Swifties, oh, Jesus, yeah.
They do make it their entire personality, do they not?
They're militant. Like, not as bad as Beyonce fans. You can't talk about...
No, I think there were some Beyonce fans at this point. Quite frankly, they're also defending someone who has more talent. I apologize to the Swifties before I get a bunch of people.
They'll shut the whole network down. And Taylor Swift has a lot of talent.
I'm just saying Beyonce has more talent, arguably, of the two.
Because she's with Jay-Z. He writes all the stuff.
I mean, she's a better singer. Like, yeah. Taylor Swift is a singer. I mean, she's okay. She's nothing special. Honestly, the songwriting, I don't feel like it's necessarily anything special. Beyonce's got a voice, at least. And she does. A hell of a voice at that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would still give the nod there.
And a better body.
I mean, I can't deny you that either.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got three left of hobbies that become personalities. There's a specific sport.
Football.
No, that they actually play.
That they actually play?
Yes.
Basketball?
No. I mean, I guess sport is probably pushing it a little bit, but...
Golf.
Yes.
Okay.
Golf bros are a whole breed unto themselves.
No, but I mean, like, if you meet a basketball fan, he's dressed like a game could break out at any moment.
They are, but you don't run into many of those, at least I don't. As many of those as I run into the golf bros. So many of those. So, you're missing, I think...
Two more?
Yeah. Actually, there's three, but you're not going to guess fashionista. I mean, I guess with the basketball guy is also probably sneakerhead guy, so I mean, I guess that's part of.
Okay.
No, you're missing... Another one that actually could be a Venn diagram with some of these other ones. And then... I don't know if you're going to get these.
Foodie?
No. Think a less tangible item.
Oh.
It's all in the cloud, man.
Women. No, conspiracies?
No.
The Illuminati?
It's a little more internet-based, but, you know.
Bitcoin?
Crypto guy, yes.
Crypto guy, oh, yeah. They still around?
There's still a few of them, and they're still really thinking. Someday that Dogecoin's going to go to the moon. Or probably not.
I've had people try to explain that to me, and my brain starts to hurt.
That's fair, because it's honestly confusing. The very concept of it is kind of, it's a lot, dude. I'm not even going to pretend like it ain't.
Right.
And then there's one more you're missing. Guys who are just in love with a certain piece of equipment that they own.
Cars.
Yes, car guy.
Oh, yeah, the motorheads.
Those are... And those are, I come across a lot of those, too. It's like, yep, that's definitely a car. That's a pretty color there. I don't know. Because I don't know any, like, you can start rattling off all the specs of what's under the hood. I have no earthly clue what you are talking about.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I started to daydream right away.
Almost immediately, really. Also, it's really funny that, honestly, for one, podcasting didn't make the list here. Or smoking meat, for that matter. Except no one's going to call it the smoking meat thing, because then you're not going to get to taste the fruits of that labor anymore.
I can't keep them lit.
That's very
true. Actually, you know, marijuana smoke, weed smokers, they seem to make that their whole personality.
Oh, did we not guess that one? Because that was also on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you go, inadvertently getting the last one that I forgot you didn't get.
All right.
We got to hit a break. It is happy hour. We'll come back and close this thing off next. Happy hours. We get set to get out of Dodge here on a Friday afternoon. Tigers in action tonight. If you're listening to us on WMIC, actually, it's going on right about now-ish on our sister station, the Thumbs Greatest Hits 97.7 to BTGV. And whoop, I'm pretty sure the Tigers are already losing because they're playing the Dodgers, basically has them rendered as cannon fodder. Even with Tarek Skubal on the mound, I don't feel overly confident. And I'm mostly just sitting and watching right now as this team has... They're now four games under 500, which is better than where you were at after you went and handled the whatever, the Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever it is Cleveland's team's called these days. Yeah. I'll give credit where credit's due, but all the headlines are still about Jack Flaherty's just increased his trade value more. Like, I am once again sitting here like, well, we're going to hit the whole reset button and just waste the rest of my summer, aren't we? Good thing that next week we don't even have this to worry about, because there's not going to be any sports of any sort to cover. Good thing that we've got plenty of stuff that we didn't get time to do today, because we talked a lot with that list of the hobbies that people make their personality or whatever. So yes. We have plenty of stuff to do next week that'll be entirely fun, even if we don't have a baseball team to make fun of. With that in mind, though, we do have a little bit of housekeeping to take care of here briefly before we get out of here for the weekend. In our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to both of our dads, Richard Harris, Nickelback, Bon Jovi, Coldplay, Michael J. Fox, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Chili's, Dorothy, Rachel, Disney Adults, Patriots, Ska fans, and Swifties. We're sorry!
And that was just today.
That was all just today, and honestly, had I looked a little bit harder, we probably could have found far more things that we could have and should have apologized for than those.
Yep.
And you think that's bad? See us next week. By the time we get to the end of our annual week without sports, you'll really see just how offensive we can get, how many people we can find room for on this list. You're going to be impressed, really. On that note, though, stick around. We got to go, but we do have a full hour of local original music for you next.
Yeah.
A little show we like to call Sessions.
The bad news, Idle Kings had to cancel.
Aww.
But the good news is we're going to replay an episode I did paying tribute to the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Bob Seger.
Yay.
Yay.
So it's not all bad news today, kids.
No, it's going to be a good time. And then tomorrow, Saturday show, I'm debuting so much new stuff. It seems like every time I take a couple weeks off, that's when all the new music comes in. So I've got Captain Hollywood, Tommy from Slumlord Radio calling in. They're releasing a new single.
Well, we have to keep you guys on opposite sides of the stake, because I don't think that any of our local liquor stores would be able to keep up with you when your powers combine. That's also why he has to do interviews with him when I'm not in town, because
the three of us, the trifecta, somebody would die.
Right. Like, don't get me wrong, like, the liquor companies would just have a field day with all the profits we'd be making them. But
yeah, I'm also going to be playing bands that you'll be seeing at Cool Fest and the Tuscapalooza.
Tuscolapalooza.
Tuscolapalooza.
Are you going to that, by the way?
Nope, I'm not. I don't think I'm going to go. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. So
you should go. Make an appearance. That'd be cool. Like, represent the station at this thing. I hear apparently our good buddies over at the...
P&A, they're going to be out there.
Yeah. Okay. Our old buddy Phil Nickel and his partner, his Adam, yeah, are going to be out there for that.
Every good show has an Adam on it.
Apparently, all the good radio shows and podcasts, I guess.
Yeah, I should go over there and introduce myself. I've been checking out their show recently. They're cool people.
Honestly, I'd be probably making it out there to see them if it wasn't for the fact that I'm going to be out of town at the end of next week.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
So that'll be sadly keeping me from attending this fine show. Oh, well, what are you going to do? Anyway, Sessions is next. I'll be well. Talk to you Monday at 3. See ya.